Good morning.
Good morning.
Want to talk about an union that's maybe a little bit looked past in the parasha. So the prophet tells us after the main maisa of Korach, so the pasuk in Perek Zayin says, "V'idabe Hashem al Moshe Lemoy, Emor Lelozo ben Aaron Hakohen, v'yorim esnachtois mibin asreifa, v'esaeish zreihola kikodesh, esnachtois achatoim ha'ele ben nafshoiso." Take the machtois, take the pans that were used by the 250 men who were makriv k'toyres, but also oisam rikuei fachim sipulim mizbeach. Make them as a cover for the mizbeach. Ki ikrivun de Hashem yikdoshu, because they've been bought as hakrov for the Ribbono Shel Olam, so they've got a kedusha. Ve'yiu lo'ois livnei Yisrael, will be for a sign for Klal Yisrael. Yikach lo zakeris matzen choshes, Hashikriva Surufim Hasurufim Yarkum Sipul Mesbeach, Zikom Le Yisrael Leman, Shlikrav Jizora, Shlim Yizera Arim, and the Teres, etc., etc. So the interesting the horror over here is that these machtois that were used by these Bali Avera, the Rebbein Shem then tells Moshe Rabbeinu that the tzivui is to take those machtois and use them as a cover for the Mizbeach, which is to me a gedolah really. If you have a situation when people are meirid b'malchus, or the type of tremendous chil Hashem that happened when Korach came to challenge the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems a chiddush to say that you can then go and take the pachim that they used, the machtos, sorry, that they used, and use it for davar shebikdusha. So the tziv and others explain, you see some sefer as well, an incredible idea that we have to understand that these 250 people, asher chotam ben hashoysom, weren't, it's not as straightforward as one would have imagined it to be. And in essence, these people, these 250 people, the emes, were mechaven l'shem shemayim. There were people, the Lashon of the Sam Sefer, I'll read this Lashon of Sam Sefer, he says, Reishnun ish sadikim gemurim hoyu. They were mamish pure sadikim. V'lepikpaku gamal kunose shel Aaron. They didn't even have a time on the fact that Aaron is a Kohen. Ela nafsham choshko, sheyeh kol tzadik v'sadik yochel liskois v'mitzara b'haloz. They had a tremendous cheshiv to want to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Their agenda wasn't even to be cholik as such on the kun of Aaron. Their agenda was wanting to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Chasam Sofer shtelt zu, b'chemoy shechoshka nafshom shel Nadav v'Avihu. We have a very tragic incident of Nadav v'Avihu being killed on the day of Chanukah and Mishkan, because ikrivu eish zoro, eish zoro. So Chazal tell us that really what was the avera which they did. All they wanted to do was, it seems, according to every pshat, whatever the weakness was, they wanted to be mezgarav to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron afterwards, "Mikrovei Hakodesh, they are greater than us, and I'm sure that if the Ribbono Shel Olam Mikrovei Hakodesh is going to be with either me or you, and the fact that Nadav v'Avihu have been chosen as the one to sanctify the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this way, it means that they are greater than us. So what went wrong?" They were makriv eish zoro, but the point was though they wanted to find a way to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Chasam Sofer says, "Benirli rai lazeh." The proof, the same that Tziv says, that these mehosayim chamishim ish u'mechamen Hashem shemayim is shari nase imachtosoyson sipoy lemizbeach ki kodshoy v'loy loy machtas kirach u'dosan aviram, because they were Kofa Bashem of Moshe. But these people were not Kofa Bashem or Moshe, and essentially their pachim were used Ledova Shemibusha. Okay, Nitsa, Kalamistakil Basipa Mizbeach. And remember the message. What's the message? the inside message is, the main message is that when a person wants to find a way of being mescarim to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he has to be careful in how he does so. And it's not an open way for anyone to decide their way of wanting to be mescarim to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But essentially, they were 100% mecham l'shem shamayim. And as a result, their machtos were used simple in Mizbeah. And like we said, it's the same idea with Nodom Avim. So I want to tell a beautiful idea from Rav Reshna, Shlita. So he said as follows. The Pasuk says in Achrei Mois, Ve'adav Hashem al Moshe, Achrei Mois, Shnei b'nei Aaron, k'vosim b'nei Hashem v'yamusu. Right? So Rashi says, Rashi gives a moshel. Says, moshel a roifa. There's a moshel to a doctor. He's been telling somebody he's got to stop smoking for a long time, and the person doesn't take him seriously, until he says, unfortunately, somebody seems to have passed away because of smoke. He says, well, listen, there you go, there you have it. Found like a realistic somebody that you can use as a dugma, as an example of what I've been warning you. I've been told you to stop, you've got to lose weight. If you don't lose weight, blah, 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 blah. And there you have somebody, Nebuch, who's struggling because they're overweight. Says Rashi, that now, when this story has happened with Nodom Avihu, so there's a possibility now to say, Achrei Moshe, Shnei B'nei Aaron, to say you can't come whenever you want into the Kodesh Kodeshim, B'zois Yavoi Aaron HaKodesh only at certain times. So that's a very sadistic question. Last week, we had the story of the Mekoshesh. And the Mekoshesh did the terrible avodas B'chal Shabbos. So why do you not have now, the Parsha should start, Achrei Mois, Achrei Sheneherag, HaMekoshesh, yeah? It should say straight away that now we start dealing with the issues. Now, so, Moshel, the Roifa, I've warned you not to Mechal Shabbos, and now you have a dogma of someone who's Mechal Shabbos. What's unique about Nodav Avihu, that is something that, yes, Nodav Avihu, the story goes, Nodav Avihu did what they did, and now I'm going to show you Achrei Mois, Shnei B'nei Aaron, hey, watch it, don't make the same mistake they made. What's unique about their mistake? And he said a very beautiful idea in line of what we're saying. When the Mekoshesh did an Avera, it was blatant and clear that that's Chilul Hashem, that's Chilul Shabbos, sorry, and that's the Dava Asa. The nuance, the Edelkeit, the nuance of the Chet of Nodom Avihu was a very different type of Avera. It was an Avera that wasn't an Avera in what we'd call a Groba Avera, Avera of a sin which is blatant and terrible. It was in essence, people who want to be miscarried to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They wanted to come close to Hashem, and they made a mistake of thinking that they can do it their own way. That's a much more nuanced, it's a much more type of sensitive type of Avera that needs much more focus on, much more warning, much more understanding. Therefore, deliberately, Achrei Moshe Shnei B'nei Aaron, then it says, hey, be careful, you can't do that. And that's where the Moshe of the Reifer comes, because that's where the Rosh of the Reifer needed. The truth is, the famous states of Medrash, of Chaim Shlevitz and Masbe, the Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rav Lochem B'nei Levi, so as an oynish for saying, Rav Lochem B'nei Levi, Rabbi Yishim said to him in Parshas V'eschanon, Rav Loch, Al Tosef, stop davening to go into Eretz Yisrael. And what's the association? What's the connection? So Chaim Shlevitz and Masbe, that Moshe Rabbeinu's agenda of going into Eretz Yisrael, of trying to get there, wasn't just because he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. We know that his agenda was for a Ruchni Sticker experience to be able to be Oyla and his Darga. To the extent, Chazal tells us, the Gemara says, he was happy even to go in as a preacher. Just to be able to be there, to have that spiritual elevated experience. So when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't because of any other reason besides for Aliyah in Ruchnius. Says Mechaim Shlevitz, these 250 people, what they wanted to do was, they wanted to grow in Ruchnius. Their agenda was spiritual growth. It seems that they made a mistake in knowing exactly how to do that. But bottom line, they had a spiritual agenda. And it seems that on Moshe Rabbeinu's level, although what they were doing was blatantly wrong, and it couldn't be done that way, he should have been Messiachus, again, on his level, to some sort of understanding that for them this is a spiritual journey, it's something which they're looking to achieve spiritually. And because there seemed to have been a lack of an appreciation of Sidoi, of understanding that idea, as a result of that, he's told, Rav Loch, yeah, stop. Because there's something here of the lack of appreciation, of there's something being more nuanced here. Rashi seems to imply that even Korach himself had the Lashem Shomayim agenda. Rashi says, Koyach Bikeach Choyo, what did he see to do something so silly to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu? And Rashi at the end says that he had a Ruach HaKodesh that told him that there's something, Koyach Shevkech HaMarolish Tuzeh, Rosh Shal Sheles Gudula Yoitza Mimenu, Shmuel, Sheshokul Kedah Yoitza of Aaron, etc. He says it must be, it's something to do with me. And even Koyach, although he seemed to have less time for Koyach in terms of his Kavanos, had some sort of Lashem Shemayim Kavona, but obviously the way he went about it was entirely wrong. The Shem Shmuel writes that the idea of Matan Torah, there being a mitzvah hagbola, which means hagbeles or don't go up, yeah? The idea was the understanding that we have to appreciate when we start the concept of having a relationship with the Almighty, it's not something which is a free-for-all that a person could choose for themselves, the way and how they're going to serve the Rebbeinu Shlomo. It's because the Rebbeinu Shlomo is Kelgodol Menorah, it has to be something which you have, we'll see soon what exactly, but it has to be something that there's a drocha in a mahalach of making a kesha. The idea of Hagbel means there has to be limitations. A person can't decide themselves as to how and when they want to have the kesha with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. One of the very, very classic examples, which I hear always from my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Kalfman Zatzal, he used to say, there's a very interesting differentiation between two famous women. You have one famous woman, Tamar, who was known as the Sadekes for all eternity, the mother of Malchus Beis David ultimately. And there's another lady called Eshes Potiphera. They actually appear very close to each other in the Torah. Now, Eshes Potiphera, we know, is written forever in the Torah as being a terrible woman. But the very interesting thing is, we know that Eshes Potiphera, Rashi tells us, that she was Mechavenes L'Shem Shomayim. She told Yosef, I see there's an osid of us having offspring together. Right? So why is it Tamar, who had Kavana to what she did with Yehuda was L'Shem Shomayim, Eshes Potiphera was also L'Shem Shomayim. She absolutely meant for the right purposes, the right tachlesim. So he used to say as follows, Eshes Potiphera had a L'Shem Shomayim agenda. And because of that agenda, everything else was bulldozed out of the way. I have an agenda to have a child with Yosef. Whatever needs to be done along the way to facilitate my spiritual dream, I will do. He says, Tamar was a lady who had inside already her children. In every respect, we're already way ahead of the game. It would mean there would be a practical issue of having to embarrass Yehuda along the way to facilitate the children inside her being born. And she had a tremendous understanding that the mahalach of my L'Shem Shomayim Kavona, of having Malchus Beis David come about, is not my understanding that this is what I need to do because this is what I need to do and nothing else matters. There was an understanding that there's certain rules in the game that have to be kept. And if it means I've got to be invited somebody along the way, Chazal tell us, rather than embarrassing somebody, and she had that ability to understand that this is my time to stop. What would be Malchus Beis David? The Rebbeinu Shlomo is big enough to facilitate that to come about. Tremendous koyach. You know, sometimes a person has an agenda, and it's a Shem Shomayim agenda. They just drive with it. Boom! No one can stop them. There's no stopping them. There's no go back. And Tom had that understanding. Eshes Potiphera didn't have that understanding. You know, famously, the Natsiv, we know the Natsiv had the Vlajna Yeshiva. Yeah? And at the age of 77, if not mistaken, he did the most unpopular, most strange thing. He took his yeshiva of however many 100 boys there were, and he closed the yeshiva down because there was a pressure from the authorities to teach secular. And at the time, there was meetings with all the gedolim, and they thought, this man, you know, he's Muhammad Hashem Shabbayim. You've got a purpose, you've got an agenda. You're Muhammad, what's his kavanah? His kavanah is only to teach Torah and to be mevout in the name of the virtue in the world. To the extent, once he closed the yeshiva, if you read the story, he seemed to, at that stage, crumble. As a man, he shriveled up Nebuch. He lost his drive, he lost his koyach, he became ill. So what was he doing? I think, if I'm not mistaken, the meeting was the Chofetz Chaim who said, the goyness of what the Tzid did, the legitimacy of what he did was, had he allowed the secular studies to come into the yeshiva, then the shape and the tzura, the matzbea, what yeshiva is, would have changed forever. And he understood if he was able to close his yeshiva, then there'll be yeshivas that will exist in other places, which will be continuing, obviously, in Poland, etc., and they would continue the exact model that's needed in the type of yeshiva that needs to be. There was a strength of somebody to be able to say, this is not my time now. This is not my avoida. Instead of a person having an agenda, and this is what I need to do. Whatever matters, whoever cares. And I want to hear a beautiful idea. And it's surely from Rabbi Gutentag, Shlita, Emeritus Rabbi. Emeritus Rabbi Whitefield. Emeritus Rabbi. So he said a beautiful idea. I think he said it from Rabbi Soloveitchik, if I'm not mistaken. And it's such a powerful idea. He says, you know, when it comes to Simchas Torah, yeah, the whole of Yom Tov, of Sukkos, we go round the Bimah with a Sifrei Torah inside. So we go round with our Dalad Minim, and we go round on Ishanas with the same Torah inside, right? So this is a sort of expression of the idea that we're completely subservient to the Torah inside. So Torah is the center, and we live our lives completely subservient to the greatest force within inside the Torah. What happens when it comes to Simchas Torah? Simchas Torah, we take the Torah ourselves, and we dance around an empty space inside. What are we doing? Isn't everything Torah? Torah is everything, everything's Torah. Torah, Torah, Torah is everything. There's nothing more than Torah. Torah, Torah, that's everything, Torah. Okay, you take the Torah, and you dance around nothing inside. So what are you dancing around? So Shteyn Svarim, you're dancing around Yochel Mishchina. You're dancing around Kilu Bayroi Malik. What's that mean? What's there more to dance around the Ribbono Shel than there's to dance around Torah? It's an incredible thing. Sometimes people turn Torah into everything. Shteyn Torah. That's the Ribbono Shel. That's the Shteyn Torah. So you take a mitzvah in the Torah, and a person creates the mitzvah and turns it into something like a gospel. This is absolutely sacred. When you don't realize who wrote the Torah, it's the Ribbono Shel who wrote the Torah, and sometimes what the Ribbono Shel wanted is something which is even beyond the Torah. That means with all your mission of teaching Torah, the Netziv understands that one second, what's Ritzoyna Yisparach which goes beyond that? The Ritzoyna Yisparach is beyond that. And it could be sometimes it's the Ribbono Shel doesn't want the Torah in certain circumstances, in whatever it might be, in every sort of mahalak. So the point is, a person has to understand, it's not about what I feel is the way forward, the way I feel I can embrace the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that was the Torah. He called it the Moshe Feinstein explains, yeah, that what Korach said, he called it on kulam kedoshim, maduat is nasu akal Hashem. In essence, what Korach was saying is, if we're all kedoshim, let us all map out our way to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If every person is a special person, surely we can find a way of being able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam the way we want to. And the mistake was, says the, that's what he says, Chassam Sofer, neighbor of Nosson Adler, the mistake is, however great you are, and however powerful that you are, you need to have somebody on top of you. You have to have a magic. Why? Because the secret to connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam is something which you can only know in the correct way with Hadrocha, of knowing when, what's the way, when is the time that Torah becomes the word of Torah, and when is there a time a person says, no, that's not for now. That you need to have a madrif, that you need to have a rebbe for. That's something a person can't design on their own. It's interesting, Chassam Sofer himself, the Master Gifter Zatzal, once said that how is it possible that Chassam Sofer was able to conquer the entire world in such an incredible way, make such a change? He says because he had a rebbe. He was kosher bekefshe nafshi, mamish, very strong with the Nosson Adler. And the Nosson Adler, having a rebbe was something which gave him the ability to know when, what, how. That gave Nadrocha. To the extreme, the story goes that when Chassam Sofer was very young, I don't know exactly the age, he gave a drosha somewhere for Rabbi, and apparently he spoke in a way that maybe was a bit disrespectful about a Zayd of his in terms of learning, whatever it was, and his father was present at the time. And his father, Barabim, gave his child a patch. And the Nosson Adler felt that that was not correct for the chinuch of the Chassam Sofer, and he forbade the Chassam Sofer to speak to his father anymore. I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying any, I'm not giving any advice over here, you know what I mean? And that wasn't 2025, whatever it was. They still had the kesher. They still had the kesher. That's the end of the story. Continued. They still had the kesher. Whatever. But the point is, that Samsoif was tremendous. Very, very close to his father. He was born after many years. He was very, very close. When the Nosnaga told him, that's what you're not allowed to do, that's what he went with. That means when a person has the ability to understand, my way forward in serving the Almighty is not according to what I fancy, what I don't fancy, what works for me, but I'm willing to be guided in that relationship, then that's a key to greatness. Because once a person starts veering to how I feel my avodah zakeinish has to go, a person starts making mistakes right, left and center. You know, you have to know, you know, who's the greatest giver of all time? Who's the greatest balas chesed? Unquestionably, it was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the biggest amud chesed. You know something? He did something which was very unpopular. Very, very unpopular, and seems to go against everything that a bal chesed stands for. You know, when Lot came into the house, when Lot invited the Malachim into the house, the Rashi's Madaik, first he gave them to eat, then he told them to wash their feet. By Avraham Avinu, it was the other way around. First wash your feet, then come and eat. Now, if someone's very hungry and very, very thirsty, what do they want to do? They want to eat straight away. I'm not looking to take a shower just now. Can I have something to eat? They're starving. And Avraham Avinu, the ultimate Baal Chesed, says no. Just sort yourselves out, take the shower, wash your feet, then come inside. That doesn't seem to be very Chesed-like. The Chazal tell us that you know why you have to wash your feet? Because the feet, they serve the dust on their feet as a way to Zoram. Torah goes beyond the feelings of love and chesed that you have. If Alpi Torah, this is forbidden to bring in the Afa Sharagleir because of Avodah Zorah, then the way of chesed has to be done in that way, that yes, chesed here and chesed there, until you've got rid of the dust, which is Avodah Zorah, that chesed can't happen. Fakir, it's a reza on Lloyd that he was so all-encompassing in his love for people. He said, just come in and eat, we'll sort your legs out of the Zohar afterwards. Knowing how to serve the Rebbeinu Shleilim needs hadracha. And a person can be chavon Hashem Shemayim, be making terrible mistakes. You know, classically, somebody's damning Shemayim Esra, he's crying his eyes out to the Rebbeinu Shleilim, and there's an older person standing in front of him, maybe even not an older person. And because he's doing Shemayim Esra for I don't know how long, the person in front of him is waiting. And you're causing agmas nefesh to somebody who wants to sit down or be able to move. But I'm a chavon Hashem Shemayim, I've got a mission, I'm doing what I want to do, I found a way. There's more to Yiddishkeit, to know when and what is the correct thing. I remember very clearly hearing from somebody who works in a very special person, works in Bat Yavis, in old age homes. He goes around from place to Jewish place, old age homes, and he sings for the people, he's a care of them. And he says to me, Masiyat Lefitumoy, and you know, an old lady, I go in there, it's an older lady, I take her hand, and I sing a song with her. And I looked at him, he says, no, come on, I want to be Mechazika, I want to know the lady. You know, there's not a shine of, you know, Chassid Shalom, anything going wrong, it's an older lady. So I said, well, why are you doing that? He goes, no, that's what gives it the, that's what gives the feeling of, you know, real Levankai. You know, you make your own, you're paving your own way. The Rebbeinu Shem told us what he stated in Torah. The Rebbeinu Shem told us the issur that we have. And the person's decided their own way of serving the Rebbeinu Shem. It's a very, very dangerous game. It becomes your avodah, not the avodah of the Rebbeinu Shleilim. They tell a story, I think, the Chazon Ish, if I'm not mistaken. The Chazon Ish was once someone came in, and they needed a bed, and there was nowhere to sleep, and there was a bed in his room. And the first time they ever saw, the Chazon Ish used to learn through the night, he saw him turn off the candle, and the person who was staying with him was a boy or boch, whatever, everyone says, no, they should carry on learning. He said tonight was the only night the Chazon Ish sort of went to sleep, turned the candle out, the light out, and went out. What's pshat? Because what do you mean Chazon Ish's Torah is something which is, you know, you can't convert Chazon Ish's Torah? But if that means at this stage, that's not what the Rebbeinu Shem wants me to do, I need to be open to be guided, open to hear as to what the Rebbeinu Shem wants me to do in every situation that might be. You know, Chaim used to tell us, he says, he remembered seeing a person who used to learn. So he's learning, he opened the Rambam, he opened the Rambam, he saw his fellow's Rambam had some of the Kesser Mishnahs crossed out. So he said to him, why have you crossed out some of the Kesser Mishnah? He said, because I don't understand it. Now, it sounds so strange. He doesn't understand it. If you don't understand it, cross it out. You must be wrong. No, you made a total sense like that. So he said, this fellow never went to yeshiva. He was a self-made man. So if you don't have the adrocha of how he goes, you don't understand something, cross it out. It's the adrocha that gives a person understanding there's more to how you feel the way to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, and chas v'shalom, even if it means I'm sitcha, you don't understand something, it doesn't mean that's not the mahalach. A person has to be open to be able to hear that, open to understand that. There's a beautiful taich, you say a taich, it says, the anshei stoim, yeah, hoyu roim v'chatoim, la'ashem mo'id. The anshei sadoim were very bad, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. See, if you look in the pasuk, there's an asnachta, the solos, v'anshei sadoim, hoyu roim v'chatoim, and there's a asnachta, la'ashem mo'id. You can confirm it if that's the case.
I don't think it says
hoyu. What does it say? Not hoyu. So let's say, anshei hoyu roim.
Not hoyu.
So anshei sadoim roim v'chatoim. La'ashem mo'id. So I don't know the aura. There's the pshat. It's interesting that there's an asnachta. Asnachta means a break. He says even the anshei sadoim hoyu roim v'chatoim. But la'ashem mo'id means it couldn't be very holy. It couldn't be very, very frum. But that doesn't have to be, it's not a contradiction. You can have a situation, a person's super frum, but chas v'shalom in a way, at the same time, you know, it can be causing agmas nefesh to somebody else, or not knowing how to deal with other people. That's a contradiction. You can be roim chatoim, but la'ashem mo'id. I think you say for Rav Dessler, Rav Dessler's whole life, he used a small kois. When his wife died, he asked for a bigger kois, which should be a sheikh hazanish, right? So they asked him, if you have to have a sheikh hazanish kois, chatchila, for Kiddush, what have you been doing till now? And he said, I think that's Rav Dessler, if I'm not mistaken, his wife had bought him the kois, it was a smaller kois, and he was making on the sheikh to facilitate his wife feeling that she shouldn't be nifka. Which is that when a person is looking to be in the kashrut of the Ribbono Shel Olam, there has to be, yeah, I heard the beautiful idea from Rav Aryeh, and Shem Shom Jadron, that there was a story with Shom Shom Jadron, that he was machmeh on himself, not to eat meat outside the house. Not to eat any meat outside the house. Because of kashrus. Mikitza, when he made shidduch one of his children, he went to his mechutin, and the Sudas Erisin, I think, was by the mechutin, was meaty. And the Rishon Shvadron was eating meat by the Suda. And they asked the question, we've never seen you eating meat outside the house, what's going on? So Rishon said that his mechutin is a rov of a shtot. It was a rov. He said, if I come here, and the people of this kehillah see that I don't eat the meat of their rov, that's a meridika pegi in the rov. That overrides my chumrah. And he said a meridika text. This is beautiful. He said as follows. It says, we say, loy bikvuras, loy bikvuras sasus yefbots, veloy b'shoyke ish yitze, roitze Hashem b'sirev. The Bosher doesn't want the might of a sus, yeah? He wants the ones who fear him. He said a tai chazoy. He's not looking, the type of Yireyim he wants is Yireyov, meaning he's not looking for somebody who's got a Yireh Shemayim like a sus. That means, whatever it is, I'm machmeh. A sus can't make a cheshbon when I'm machmeh, I'm not machmeh. I'm machmeh. That's what I do. That's my way. I do the question. Loibig vuras as sus yechvah. The Kshiz Yitze. Roitza Hashem es Yireyov. Some of your fears here, like we said, we're dancing around the Ribbono Shel Olam in the center. Right? With that sort of Ribbono Shel Olam center means, I understand, you want people who fear the Ribbono Shel Olam. Which therefore mean that when a person's on his mission in life and looking to find the mission, there's ability to understand the mission doesn't become God. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is my Lashem Shemayim mission which I'm on. I have to realize, the Toivel Mutter. Sometimes there's more I have to do, sometimes less I have to do. Sometimes I'm doing the entirely the wrong direction. And the way to miscarry to the Ribbono Shel Olam isn't by challenging Moshe Rabbeinu as to why he's the Mamunah, why he's the Nivcha. The way to do it is, yes, a person needs Hadrocha. A person has to know, what's the way to miscarry the heart? There's Hakbel Ha means, the Ribbono Shel Olam not just someone, kavyochel, a being that we can just, however we want, map our own way. It's about understanding there has to be an Hadrocha. And has to know, is what I'm doing and the mission that I'm doing the correct thing? And sometimes a person can be invested in something in such an incredible way, and he has to turn around and say, no, you know, very often, you have somebody who's running an organization, let's say, which is doing, you know, for years he's done a tremendous job. And the person's now getting older, and, you know, it would be very clear if you'd give this over to somebody who's younger, maybe they'll be able to have new ideas, maybe they could take the whole project to another stage. Problem is, a person, you can't judge a person's so much strength into that and so much energy, that becomes the person's mission, and he's forgotten about what the bigger picture is. My mission is to make this a success. A person has to understand, what's the bigger picture? To keep in mind the whole time, maybe there's someone who could do this better than me. It's a very painful thing for a person to think. Maybe it's time for me to step down and let someone else take over. If a person understands that there's a bigger picture and we have to know what the Rebbe Shimon wants us to do, we'll have this Sefer Shemaiah to be able to do so. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.